was Lee Morgan, and it is Sidewinder. And we're joined now, I believe, by Stephen Gowans of gowans.wordpress.com. Are you there, Stephen?
Yes, I am. Hello, Phil.
Well, we're glad to be talking to you because we seem to have this issue of Venezuela from so many, aspects to this crisis that seems to be artificially created by Washington, largely. You've taken up one aspect of it, this shocking kind of event where, I guess, the past few days there's been power outage. I think in 23 out of 26 states of Venezuela, they lost power for a significant period of time. And the government of Venezuela says that they've been a victim of cyber war, I believe is the term. And but, of course, a more authoritative voice, Senator Rubio, says that, no, it's because Maduro doesn't know how to manage electricity or something. And you, in your column, say that you would not dismiss Maduro's allegations out of hand. Why do you say that?
Yeah. And they are dismissed out of hand, certainly by the Canadian and U.S. media, who kind of, I mean, they present it this way. There goes Maduro, you know, this crazy dictator, as they call him, with his conspiracy theory about the United States unleashing a cyber weapon, when really, isn't it more reasonable to suggest that this is just another instance of Maduro's economic mismanagement? And what struck me is, and also the Canadian and U.S. press have been pointing out that Maduro is making this cyber warfare claim without presenting any evidence, which struck me as being particularly rich, since the Western media is chock-a-block of claims without any evidence. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. We could go on for days naming all the cases in which the U.S. and Western media have talked about, for example, the Skripal affair, where there is absolutely no evidence produced to implicate the Russians, but the argument is made, well, who else could it be? Yeah. Well, there are cases. I mean, we have the accusations that were hurled against the Syrian government that it was involved in the use of chemical weapons, again, with no evidence, and it just goes on and on. In this particular case, however, the media is making the claim that that the power outages are attributable to the mismanagement of the Maduro government. Well, that's a claim that's provided without evidence as well. So I looked at this and said, well, we have a fact. The fact is power outages, and we have two narratives. One comes from Canada and the U.S. that says this is attributable to Maduro's inefficiencies. And the other, coming from the Venezuelan government, attributing the power outages to a cyber weapon attack. So I decided to look at this from the perspective of, you know, both explanations to see which is more credible, recognizing that, you know, there's no evidence available to me or you that allow us to distinguish which is in fact, or any definitive evidence to make a claim. But as I looked at this, I recalled a story I had read and kept from, I think it was 2017 or 2018, and it was a story from the New York Times by David Sanger. And David Sanger had talked about the United States having a secret program codenamed Nitro Zeus, which called for turning off the power grid in much of Iran if the two countries had found themselves in a conflict over Iran's nuclear power program. And he went on to say that such a use of cyber weapons is now a key element in the war planning of all the major world powers. So if the United States could do this to Iran, it could certainly easily do it to Venezuela. So the United States has the capability to undertake this kind of cyber weapons attack. By the way, the Sanger article had the headline, U.S. declines to sign declaration discouraging use of cyber attacks. And this is in connection with the so-called Paris call for trust and security in cyberspace, which the French President Macron was putting together. He got 51 countries to sign this declaration. The United States refused to sign. And they refused to sign, said on the grounds that American presidents and American officials should never be forced to give up a tool that could be used to intervene in the elections of other countries. Which is quite interesting after they're complaining about that, again, with no evidence that the United or that Russia has been interfering in the elections of the United States.
They refuse to be to answer any questions whether they do that because nobody can constrain them. Amazing.
And then it struck me that the United States has used cyber weapons in at least two occasions, used the cyber attacks to sabotage Iran's uranium enrichment program, which is now widely acknowledged.
Yeah, it's called STYX or something, STYX or something.
Stutniks, yes.
Yeah, Stutniks. I'm sorry, Stutniks, right.
And it has also used cyber warfare to sabotage the North Koreans' rocket program. This, too, was revealed by Sanger in the New York Times. So they have the capability, and they have the history of doing this kind of thing. Since I wrote the article, I discovered that there was an article written just recently in Forbes magazine, hardly a supporter of the Maduro government.
It's no longer a Marxist journal, yes.
No, and this is written by a guy who's a senior fellow at George Washington University Center for Cyber Homeland Security. And he made the argument that, in fact, as he put it, quote, this kind of, or the idea of a foreign nation manipulating an adversary's power grid to force a government transition is very real. And he went on to say that widespread power and connectivity issues, like the one Venezuela experienced last week, are straight from the modern cyber playbook. Interestingly, he points out that timing such an outage to occur at the moment of societal upheaval in a way that delegitimizes the current government, exactly as a government in waiting has presented itself as a ready alternative, is exactly the kind of tactics that were discussed in the security establishment in 2015. So, I mean, so the
is it what they call a prima facie case going here?
Yeah, and what struck me was the timing of all of this. If it is the case that the power outages are attributable to years and years of mismanagement by the Maduro government, it seems strangely convenient that suddenly this has all come to a head precisely at the point that the United States is trying to bring about a coup d'etat. But as pointed out in Forbes, I mean, this kind of program would be necessarily coordinated with, you know, a program in which you have a government in waiting ready to step in.
We're speaking to Stephen Gowans, gowans.wordpress.com, what's left in the article is about this examination of the countering the claims of claims and counterclaims between the U.S. and President Maduro. Of course, you also point out in the article that we're dealing with some pretty frank gentlemen in the White House. We've got Elliot Abrams, and you quote John Bolton, who's proud, and it's rare in these days that American leaders say, oh, yes, the Monroe Doctrine is absolutely contemporary. I mean, that should well, of course, it also raises, and I don't know if you want to go how far to get into it, but I don't understand why Canada and other countries don't say to the U.S., well, actually, we don't agree with the Monroe Doctrine, did not at the time, and not now. But that's, again, part of the evidence, is it not?
Yeah, it is part of the evidence. It's part of the evidence about the motivation. The United States has a motivation to undertake a cyber warfare attack. So it has the capability. It's done so in the past. It has the motivation in the case of Venezuela. So there's nothing really unusual or about the possibility that this kind of attack has been undertaken. Of course, we can't say for sure that it has. But even if it hasn't, I mean, the alternative explanation, and a reasonable alternative explanation that's being offered, is that maybe this is attributable to failures to do adequate maintenance on the power grid or failure to invest in the power grid. But if that's so, these things would be a consequence of this very vigorous economic war that the United States and Canada and the European Union have been waging on Venezuela. And it's a very vigorous war. In fact, you know, a senior State Department official said last year, I mean, quoting, "The financial sanctions we've placed on the Venezuelan government, what we're seeing is a total economic collapse in Venezuela. So our policy is working, our strategy is working, and we're going to keep it on the Venezuelans." Well, when you pursue that kind of economic warfare, well, maybe it would be the case that you do inadequate maintenance on your power grid. Maybe you don't invest appropriately in the power grid, and it breaks down. So even if it wasn't a cyber weapons attack and it was attributable to failure to maintain the power grid, that still goes back to decisions made by the United States and Canada and the EU to wage a war against this country, wage a war to change the regime, to bring in a regime that's more amenable to U.S. and Canadian free enterprise.
Yeah, I should ask you about that too. Is it this is a demonstration once again that that the U.S. There's a kind of story that Trump is retreating. He's circling the wagons. He's given up on foreign policy. But he got Germany to line up. He got France to line up. Britain lined up. Israel lined up. All condemning Maduro, calling for his, well, I guess the recognition of Guaido, which is, I mean, it's highly perilous stuff to be doing. You're talking about regime change nakedly. But all these parties, Canada, they all lined up. It seems to show that the U.S. is interested in throwing its weight around and others are interested in following along behind.
Yes, in Canada, as you point out, Canada, the rule of law nation, which is engaged in illegal sanctions against Venezuela, illegal on two grounds. First, they're illegal according to the UN Charter because these have been imposed without UN Security Council approval, and also illegal under the Organization of American States Charter. So I don't know how it is that Canada can keep boasting about being a rule of law state.
Maybe they only mean domestically. When they get out and they leave town, they really kind of, it's like being in Vegas.
Yeah, it's more an outlaw state.
No, that's appalling. I mean, that incidentally, that raises the issue. I want to ask you about this. I spoke earlier to Dimitri Lascaris about this. The Lima Group, which Canada seems to be proudly sort of a leader of, acts like a leader of, they seem highly destructive of the Organization of American States, which has, you know, their charter says no intervention and no sanctions. But the Lima Group is they're like a faction trying to destroy the OAS.
Yeah, that's exactly. Or in this case, I mean, it was simply an ad hoc group assembled and put together in order to do something that couldn't be done within the legally anyway, within the context of the OAS. So they couldn't, under the OAS charter, impose sanctions on Venezuela. So they said, well, let's form our own little group of those people who are willing to do so or willing to try and undermine the government of Venezuela.
Yeah. And the media follows by continually talking about the Lima Group. The Lima Group is just a faction inside the OAS.
Yeah.
And the OAS is no longer talked about. Everybody here just says, oh, the Lima Group. Well, it's just a gang. By the way, a lot of unscrupulous characters play a leading part, starting with Mr. Bolsonaro, who's pretty not shy about fascistic behavior. And on the question of ideology, I got to get to this matter. The word socialism is being thrown around a lot, particularly, I'd like to say, the socialist government of Maduro. You have a quibble with that that is rather helpful. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, it's interesting that they keep calling it the socialist government of Maduro, and suddenly we're to believe that Venezuela is a socialist country. I think it's more accurately described as a resource nationalist country, and that's the issue. There would be an issue if it was a socialist country, that's
for
sure.
The power grid we're talking about is private, right?
Yes. And much of the economy is private. Mm-hmm. This is the way that Bolton has been describing Venezuela, in using the most florid language, unbelievable language. I mean, talking about Venezuela belonging to a troika of tyranny, forming part of a triangle of terror, acting as a sordid cradle of communism in the Western Hemisphere. We have Trump, of course, talking about Venezuela as a socialist state and the breakdown of the economy becoming an object lesson in, you know, the inefficiencies and the problems of socialism. We'll never allow socialism because look what happens when you have socialism. The mm-hmm. entire economy breaks down and the power grid doesn't work. Mm-hmm. But this goes on and on in country after country in which the United States intervenes by means of economic warfare. They deliberately bring down an economy, create massive upheaval, chaos, disarticulation, and then they invariably attribute it, with great assistance of the media, to economic mismanagement or socialism or their communist policies. And suddenly, the effects of the sanctions and the economic warfare disappear, and we don't hear about that. Mm-hmm. Interestingly, this is what the United States has done or did in Cuba, and there's an historian who I cited in that article mm-hmm. Who had unearthed the U.S. foreign policy documents in which, principles Cuba or U.S. Policy toward Cuba talked about how it was necessary to use economic measures to impose or to cripple the Cuban economy, but at the same time it was necessary to hide the hand of the United States and to attribute the breakdown of the economy to Castro.
That was his language, hiding the hand, and we'll put the blame on Fidel.
Yeah, exactly. So in Cuba, the United States sabotaged the economy through sanctions and the blockade and deliberately tried to pin the blame on Castro and socialism, as they said, knowing exactly what they were doing. And in this case, in Venezuela, the United States appears to have sabotaged the electrical grid either through a cyber warfare attack or indirectly through the economic warfare it's been waging. And it's pinning the blame on Maduro and on socialism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really a remarkable story. By the way, I spoke earlier with Dimitri about the story of the bridge. You must have seen that story today. The New York Times now says 2 weeks after the event, always, I guess Mark Twain says, a lie is halfway around the world before the truth gets its boots on. We were very close to something quite, warlike conditions between Colombia, Brazil, and Venezuela. We had U.S. military aircraft with Elliot Abrams aboard arriving and running at the border of Venezuela. And then to make it really inflammatory, they set fire to a truck and put the blame on Maduro, but today's Times said that actually not only did they set the fire from the Colombian side, but also the actual footage of it, which they circulated around the world and caused Freeland and others to speak out on, was edited, clumsily, I assume, in which minutes were taken out so that you couldn't see the actor who did it And the time frame that was, they just eliminated the time frame, and so that it appeared, you know, you couldn't see that it was this individual. Went to an awful lot of trouble to do a fake story. But look at our gullibility. Nobody in Parliament said anything. We're still on board with the story that everything is Maduro's fault. Have you followed that event, and have you got any comment on it?
Yeah, you're right. They're still on board. It's going to do little, at least in the mainstream media, to derail the program of talking about restoring democracy in Venezuela and overthrowing a dictator. By the way, the last time I was on your show, when we were talking about Venezuela, you talked about the Albert Einstein Institute and how it had been involved in Venezuela. And I was looking back at my notes, and what struck me about this is in 2003, the Albert Einstein Institute, funded by the United States through the National Endowment for Democracy, was training an overthrow movement within the country. But interestingly, the concepts they were using are exactly the same ones they're using today, which was they were trying to restore democracy and overthrow a dictator. In this case, it was Chavez rather than Maduro. So the story hasn't changed. The narrative remains the same, just that the style of intervention has changed. Mm-hmm. It's escalated.
Mm-hmm. And this individual, Guaido, he actually had some experience with that, right? He attended meetings. I think they were in, Yugoslavia? There was a country once called Yugoslavia. The former Yugoslavia.
Yeah, and OTPAR was the group that the NAD had trained, or the Albert Einstein trained in, to do exactly the same thing, to disrupt and to the Yugoslav government in order to bring it down. And what they did was they brought in two of the leaders of OTPAR to help train Venezuelan students, and there's some evidence to suggest that Guaido was one of the people that was being trained. Interestingly, the Wall Street Journal has been talking about Guaido today and using another kind of deception, saying, well, you know, they say that Guaido is just a puppet of the United States, but don't you know that he represents a party that's in the Socialist International?
Yeah, I saw that in the Globe. Well, you spoke about his socialist program. I think you mentioned that Mr. Guaido favors privatization and, talked to the Americans about their running the oil business. I guess that's a socialist program. What do you make of that?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there was Bolton on Fox Business talking about how this is going to be great if they get Guaido in. You know, the United States oil companies will be able to invest in Venezuelan oil. And his program, that is Guaido's program, is the same as Bolton's, which is essentially to open up, Venezuelan resources, oil and gold and everything else to U.S. free enterprise. So, yeah. Perhaps those are the programs that are, promoted by parties in the Socialist International today. But
they live in this fantasy world. We've talked about this before. But actually, if I read the Star about twice a week, I see a cartoon in which Putin has Trump in his lap, giving him instructions, and nobody says, "Are you out of your mind?" I mean, what's Putin's plan to put Guaido in power? Is this a socialist party? Is the Wall Street Journal onto something? You know, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Well, Stephen Gowans, it's great to talk to you. That's a wonderful article, gowans.wordpress.com. We look forward to talking to you again soon.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Phil.
Okay. This is The Taylor Report, and it is CIUT 89.5 FM. You can write to us, thetaylorreport@ciut.fm. We're on Facebook, / The Taylor Report, and we're SoundCloud, thetaylor-report.com.